welcome back to another episode of the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast.
What's up, everyone? This is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm his brother, Will Brueggemann. This is a very exciting episode, because if you remember a few weeks ago on our Greatest Hits episode, we featured a contest at the very end to see who could identify the most tracks. And we had a winner, and his name was Matt, and he suggested that we do a Kirby episode. So Matt, here we are. We're doing a Kirby episode just for you, buddy.
Just as we promised. So this is going to be a really fun time. Kirby is one of the most legendary series that Nintendo has ever created. The
right.
First game came out in 92, so it was a little bit of a late start when you think about like Zelda and Mario. It came a little bit after that, but definitely has, there's so many Kirby games, and they're all of a pretty high quality, and the music is very consistent in this series.
Right. Well, and a lot of people now that play really big roles in Nintendo started working for HAL Laboratories, which produced the first few Kirby games.
Which developed,
Yeah, so it's like, it's kind of cool to see where some of these people that now they work on Mario and Zelda, and they actually got their start on the Kirby series. And musically, I mean, it's a very consistently high quality group of musicians that are composing the soundtracks for these games. And Kirby, like many other franchises that we've talked about on this show, has a very unique style, and you've probably recognized it just through listening to various Kirby music, or maybe if you're a big Kirby fan, you probably notice it. But it's that very bouncy, fast, fun, catchy melody. It's like Nintendo cranked up to 11.
Well, yeah, it's definitely unmistakable. What I like to describe it as athletic sounding. I mean, all the music is just very athletic sounding. It's very fast paced. It's like running music.
It's
music,
ironic because Kirby is a fat, chubby little guy that eats things.
But it's music that you would run to. It definitely has its own pace to it. And I think it's really cool that you have a series that is a third-party developed series. And as far as composers go, there's really just a couple of classic Kirby composers that you'll see on almost every single game. It's really fun. So Jun Ishikawa is the composer that worked on the very first Kirby game, and he pretty much worked on almost every single Kirby game. So he's absolutely a classic Kirby composer, came up with a lot of the foundation. Also, Hirokazu Ando came in right from the second game and worked on, again, after that, almost every single game. So those two, Hirokazu Ando and Jun Ishikawa, are definitely the two main Kirby guys. So it's really cool that we're going to feature so much of their music today. Well, let's just get the ball rolling here. We're going to start with the very first Kirby game. This is called Kirby's Dream Land, and it came out in 1992 for the Game Boy. So kind of cool that this series didn't start on the NES. Some people may not remember that. It started on the Game Boy. And we opened with a track called Green Greens, and that's probably the most classic Kirby theme. You could maybe equate that to like the Mario Overworld as far as how many times it's used in later games. We're going to play another track from that first game. This is called Float Islands, composed by Jun Ishikawa. Listening to Float Islands from Kirby's Dream Land, composed by Jun Ishikawa. And if Green Greens is the most classic Kirby theme, this might be the second most classic. This is another theme that's used in almost every single Kirby game. They harken back to it, and certain games remix it in different ways. But yeah, this actually, when we were listening to it, it really reminded us of a lot of Mario Kart music.
Right, especially the one for the Game Boy Advance Super Circuit. One thing that I think is really cool about this song is the general characteristics of the melody and chords are sort of laid back back and very relaxing, and there's a lot of extended chords going on. But what I like is, like Carl said, seeing is the fact that the Kirby series has a lot of athletic, fast-paced music. This is a little bit faster than I feel like I would expect for a song like this, especially the bu-de-bu-de-bu-de-bu-de-bu, because like, something about that feels like it's supposed to be very kind of chill and relaxing, but the pace and the tempo of this track is a little bit kind of fast, and it has that consistent, you know, video game-style backbeat.
It has that drive. Yeah, no, that's a very good point. I think what's really cool about this particular track is it's supposed to be very relaxing, I think very tropical. It kind of supposed to evoke the islands feel, which mm-hmm. it does, and the melody is incredibly slow and very long notes, so the melody is not fast at all.
Right.
But it's the accompaniment and the supporting instruments that are very, very frantic.
Right.
You have the do-do-do-do-do-do, and you have the very fast
drums
and
bass. Well, and I think in relative to everything else, the melody is slow, but mm-hmm. I guess I'm more talking about the tempo in general.
Yes, feels the tempo is fast.
It could be toned down just like 10 beats per minute, mm-hmm. and then I feel like it would be a little bit more typical of music like this. But it's just a little bit faster than you would expect, and I feel like that's really intentional.
Yeah, one thing that this music did kind of make me think of is that, you know, in the Sonic games, how you get the super shoes and then the music speeds up? I feel like every song is at that sped up tempo.
Right.
Where it's like, it feels like Kirby is always like, I don't know, invincible or something.
Right, well, and I know that for the NES, they only had a few set tempos that they could choose from.
There wasn't infinite.
But I'm not positive with the Game Boy, how that really worked. Not really too familiar with the hardware when it comes to like tempo and stuff.
But what's interesting is, and this is a little bit rare for game series, is that not only did, as far as like compositionally, melodically, they really set a foundation that they would follow in almost every game, but a lot of the pieces you're going to hear today are in the same key.
Right.
And also are almost the exact same tempo.
Uh-huh.
So that's kind of something that's a little bit less common, that you're going to hear that strong of a foundation as far as like the tempo and the key being almost the same for every song.
Well, I think that's the type of thing that I would hear as a criticism for a lot of earlier video game music. And it's something that I actually hear leveled at like Koji Kondo is, oh, he writes everything in C major. Everything
sure.
he does is C major, C major. But the thing is, if you look at Mario music, it's not all in the same key. And some of the bigger themes may be in similar keys, but with this series, I feel like it's very consistently, like every track is practically in the same key and they're all using similar chord progressions and
most of them, maybe
similar
not all
instrumentation
of them,
and stuff.
Yeah, it's very cool. We're going to move on to the second game in the series. This is Kirby's Adventure, and this was for the NES. So this was the first game to come out on the NES. This game was composed by Hirokazu Ando and Jun Ishikawa. Let's take a listen to a couple tracks from this game. The first one is Vegetable Valley. Awesome. This is Vegetable Valley from Kirby's Adventure, composed by Hirokazu Ando and Jun Ishikawa. This is definitely one of the most classic Kirby themes. I think there's about four or five Kirby themes from these first two games that were like, if you're talking about Mario context, like the overworld, the underworld, maybe like the Mario 2 overworld.
Right.
Like there's four or five classic themes that you're going to hear remixed in almost every single game. This
right.
is one of them.
Well, this one is just so amazing because it puts an instant smile on your face because the melody is so fast moving and mm-hmm. fun, but the chords are actually a little bit more complex than I think the average person would think, just listening to, oh, it's just a campy, bouncy little song.
Absolutely.
But especially in that B section, it's really kind of like interesting. Ooh, like it's a very surprising the chord changes, and the melody sort of, it does a nice job of scaling the whole wall of where those chords are moving and just guiding you through those changes.
It definitely goes places that you're not really expecting. Not saying that it's experimental or anything, but it's not incredibly textbook. Like, it's not like, oh yeah, I've heard this before. It feels unique. And that's something I want to say about the compositional style of the Kirby series, is that it really is unmistakable. It doesn't really sound like a lot of other series. I mean, we do hear influences to games that would come later, such as Mario Kart and stuff like that. Right. But that's, I mean, that's no fault. I mean, this was before that, obviously.
Well, I would say that I feel like it's using that same sort of very tonal Nintendo palette.
Of course.
You know, very melodic.
Of course, but rhythmic-wise,
jazzy kind of chords.
And as far as what we're talking about with the faster tempos and kind of how active it is, it definitely feels like it's standing apart from the Mario music,
yeah,
for example.
Totally. I mean, I really feel it almost is like Nintendo, like that all style, it just cranked up to like 11. Like, it's really sort of a lot of the staples that people think of different Nintendo series, like Pokemon, Mario, Zelda, and it's just sort of cramming it into one, and it's all really fast and just super high energy and
it's
very,
like,
cutesy.
It's like the composers were just drinking way too much coffee when they were working on these soundtracks. We're going to play one more track from Kirby's Adventure. This is an awesome track. It's called Rainbow Resort. You're listening to Rainbow Resort from Kirby's Adventure. This track is very unique, and I think Will wants to say a little bit about how they're using the instruments for as far as the NES goes.
Well, one thing you may have noticed is with the Game Boy hardware is they did not have a triangle channel. So if you notice, all the bass sounds would really have that sort of distorted sounding square
buzzy
channel.
Buzzy square sound, yeah.
But what's interesting is this is on the NES, and this is one of the only NES games I've ever heard where the bass is square. You know, I've heard sampled bass, like in the Sunsoft games, but most of the time it's triangle.
They don't use triangle
but
for the bass.
But in this track, they're using the triangle for those high little, like, shimmering...
Those arpeggiated things.
And what's interesting is... I think they really got accustomed to utilizing the square channel on the Game Boy, but also I think they like that distorted sound for the bass, and they must have appreciated the timbre of that triangle sound in its upper range.
I'm sure they tried the triangle on the bass, and they probably just got so used to working on the Game Boy hardware. I mean, the one thing I will say is that it's very unique use of the square and the bass, but... In general, this doesn't really sound like NES. Doesn't this sound more like Game Boy to you?
A little bit, but that triangle channel is so interesting. And one thing about it is they have a little bit less control about the sound of it. Like with the square, you can control the pulse width and you have more, you know, instrument switching, so to speak.
Yeah.
But with the triangle, you have a little bit less control. So I think that's why they normally use it as bass. But it does have a really nice sort of sound in its upper range. And it has an entirely different set of overtones than it does in its lower range.
Yeah, if it wasn't for that triangle sound, I almost would think this would be Game Boy music. It doesn't necessarily strike me as sounding like NES music.
Something about that feels very Kirby-ish, though, having the triangle doing those arpeggios, because it sounds so staccato, and it's such just a flat sound. There's no sort of buzziness to it. It's very pure, almost like a sine wave.
Like, the sound of that square on the bass is very important for the Kirby music. I feel like if this series hadn't have started on the Game Boy... Maybe the whole musical, like, world of this game would be very different. It's an interesting thought, but we're going to move on to Kirby's Dream Land 2, and this is back to the Game Boy. So they went from Game Boy, NES, back to Game Boy again. In very short succession. I mean, the first game came out in 92. That was pretty late as far as, like, a start of a Nintendo series.
I think you can compare it to something like Mega Man, where it's like...
Definitely.
Once they get going, they just keep
making games. They crank them out, and they definitely did that. So this is Kirby's Dream Land 2, and this one was composed by Hirokazu Ando, and Tadashi Ikegami joined him. So this is the first one that wasn't worked on by Jun. So we're going to take a listen to one track from this game. This is Koo the Owl. Thank you. cool. This is from Kirby's Dream Land 2. This track is called Ku the Owl. And this soundtrack was composed by Hirokazu Ando and Tadashi Ikakami. And I wonder how much influence Tadashi had on this soundtrack, because it definitely feels a little bit different from the first two games in the Kirby series, especially this track.
Yeah, it's using a little bit of a Dorian mode and a lot of European musical influences, especially the da-ba-da-ba-da, which almost sounds like a Spanish sort of mariachi sound. And also, I just think it's a really nice, effective use of the Game Boy hardware, especially when you have that descending arpeggio to lead back into the loop. Everything is just sort of in its place, and it's very well constructed. Every note has a purpose of being there, but the melody is very solid. It's doing interesting things rhythmically. I think this is a good example of like what to do to fill out those four channels as opposed to the three for the NES.
What's interesting is in a couple ways, it's carrying the torch of the Kirby music as far as tempo, rhythms. It's very active and frantic. So in that sense, yeah, it feels like Kirby, but melodically it's very different. And this track is a standout track, so I don't want you guys to think that this soundtrack all sounds like this track. There are a lot of classic Kirby themes, and I'm pretty sure, once again, they reuse some previous themes, as they do a lot. But yeah, I just have a feeling that Tadashi's influence is probably heard on a track like this. What's kind of cool is that, like, you got a few different composers in the early games, and Tadashi, you're gonna hear some more of him later on today, so he will come back in the world of Kirby. But we should move on to the 16-bit generation. This is to the Super Nintendo with a game called Kirby Superstar. And this was Jun Ishikawa's return. He worked on this game along with Dan Miyakawa. And this is the only game today that we're going to hear music that he worked on. We're going to play a couple tracks from this game. This is an absolutely classic soundtrack, probably one of my personal favorites of the day. We're going to play a track called Bubbly Clouds. Listening to Bubbly Clouds from Kirby Superstar for the SNES, and this soundtrack was composed by Jun Ishikawa and Dan Miyakawa. I really like this track. It's nice that you get those. We've talked about this in our Yoko episode, is on the SNES trying to sound 8-bit with the lead you're hearing. Yeah. I just have a feeling like they're trying to go for more of an NES sound. I guess you could consider it like a clarinet. I'm not sure what you want to call that instrument.
No, yeah, I totally think they're definitely going for like a synth sound.
It's so nice because it's very soft and pure and very pleasing to the ear. It's not harsh. There's not distortion. So it's really pretty. And when you get those in harmony, it really is very much more pleasing to the ear than NES music.
Well, and they have that sort of like portamento descending effect, which I don't hear a lot on the NES.
It's not as smooth when they do it on the NES. There's a little bit of the kind of a harshness to it. But yeah, this is a very well done track. Very laid back. This is not kind of quintessential Kirby music. I have a feeling this is again trying to evoke the tropical, relaxing feel. So that is a part. That's a facet of Kirby music that you're going to hear. So it's not the athletic main themes, but it's kind of a nice different side that we wanted to showcase. And this game has a lot of really classic, memorable themes. There is one that's the most classic, and it's the one we did play it a few weeks ago, and it was used in the Smash Brothers games. That's probably the most well-known track from this game, and maybe of the whole Kirby series. Mm. That was actually from a race that you do in this game, and they reused it in, right, I think, all of the Smash Brothers games.
Right. One thing that I really admire about this track in particular is the consistency of all the parts. Mainly, it's the bass line, and then you have the melody and harmony, usually the same rhythm. But the bass is very consistent rhythmically, and it's sort of, it has its own pattern.
Yeah, it's a great
pattern. And it changes around for the chords, but it doesn't really break that pattern. And it has a nice sort of rhythmic balance with the melody and harmony. And another thing interesting about this track is interesting use of harmony. There's a lot of and things moving in opposite directions and becoming more dissonant as they move together. And it's really nice. It's very well thought out, very well composed. I don't really know much about Jun Ishikawa or Dan Miyakawa, but I assume that they have some formal musical training because they're using a lot of compositional techniques that are very simple, but at the same time, they're very well done. I don't hear a lot of ambitiousness and trying to do things that they can't quite well achieve. It all feels very intentional, and it all feels, you know, very solid.
It feels very well thought out. I do think they probably, at least Jun, I do have a feeling he probably had some training in music, because some formal training, because you can really tell here. I mean, it doesn't sound very hard. It sounds very natural.
Right.
But what's interesting is that you were making all the right choices, because when you have all those lines moving together, I mean, we've heard what that sounds like, situations where that's not effective.
Right.
Like, we know what that sounds like. It's not easy to do. Like, you have to know what you're doing. So yeah, this is definitely a case where these guys definitely know what they're doing. We're going to play another track from Kirby Superstar. This track is called Marshmallow Castle, and this is a very unique song in the Kirby universe. So let's take a listen to Marshmallow Castle. Marshmallow Castle from Kirby Superstar, composed by Jun Ishikawa and Dan Miyakawa. This track is very cool. It's very groovy. I just get the feeling, I don't want to assume, but I get the feeling that this may have been a Dan track, because again, you're hearing some different styles that you haven't really heard in Kirby music, and this was his first game. So I don't know, it's not crazy to think that this may have been one of his tracks, but it's a very effective track. I mean, I think when you have certain levels like this, like Marshmallow Castle, it's not a normal Kirby level. So it's always nice when they kind of go outside of the box for this kind of music, and there are some later tracks today that we're going to feature levels like this where it's not always going to, we didn't just want to play the green greens, because a lot of times they would reuse the same theme. There were some green greens levels that had new music, but yeah, we wanted to get a little bit of diversity in here, so I'm kind of glad we picked this track.
Right. One thing that I think is nice about the evolution of video game music, and as hardware got better, they were able to explore more sounds. And one thing that's nice, it's very apparent for me in this track, the bass sound. It really makes me feel kind of nostalgic, but it's also, I really appreciate the quality in the timbre of a lot of SNES bass sounds. Like, you get that sort of bwomp, 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 bwomp. Mm-hmm. It's very unique. It doesn't really sound a lot like the Sega Genesis, and it has its own quality. And what this reminds me of is actually a lot of games where something that would be on the Genesis and SNES and was ported from the Genesis to the SNES. And this is sort of like what I feel like a lot of those games trying to capture the sound of the Genesis, but while utilizing the SNES's unique sort of sound quirks.
What's interesting is compositionally, and I guess sounds-wise, this track kind of reminded me of like some arcade music, like maybe something from X-Men or something.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely doesn't feel...
Turtles in Time.
Yeah, it doesn't really feel inherently Kirby-ish, but I really did like this track. One thing that's cool about the SNES is they can do a lot with attack. Mm-hmm. And one thing that's really cool about the lead instrument for this song is you have that. There's a lot they do with dynamics.
But then on the other spectrum, you have the.
Exactly.
It's you. I think. You really hit the nail on the head. They have a lot more control over what the attack is than they would on the SNES or even than the Sega Genesis.
Well, they really have infinite control because, I mean, infinite amount of samples they could put in. I mean, they're all going to have that kind of SNES character and that sound to it, but there's really almost an infinite possibility that these composers could do on the SNES. One thing I think is so cool is with this track, talking about the attack again, is they really created a lush soundscape because you have the soft attack, the hard attack. What they're doing is very differently, long and short. It really creates a full sound in this track. So, yeah, this is well done. We're going to move on to kind of an interesting game. This is the first side game or spin-off game we're going to play today. And this was called Kirby's Dream Course. It was for the SNES, and it was actually a golf game. So some people might be surprised that we're playing a track from this. You may not have been expecting that. We like to kind of spice things up a little bit. This game was composed by Hirokazu Ando. We're going to play a track called Cloudy Mountain Peaks. This is Cloudy Mountain Peaks from the golf game Kirby's Dream Course, composed by Hirokazu Ando. This track, again, talking about attack, really utilizes a lot of those kind of very sharp staccato rhythms. Mm-hmm. Like, the lead instrument of this track is the opposite of the last track we just played. It's incredibly short and...
Well, it kind of reminds me of the instrument that was playing the chords.
Exactly, yeah, no, but it's so catchy. Like, something about having
really
something
catchy.
That short, it really draws your ear in.
Well, also, there's a lot of delay. There's something about having the short attack with a lot of delay. It just sort of... Your mind just interprets this loud sort of like big field of sound that's just there's all these attacks and all these notes happening all over, and it allows the music to sort of get into this space in your brain where you're not hearing individual notes, you're just hearing this clear picture. And I think, like, as a musician, I really appreciate those moments because sometimes it's a little distracting. You hear all the individual parts and you don't just hear the one blended sound. But with something like this, I think, like, adding the delay and having those short attacks really it creates this sort of blended, complete, full sound.
You definitely want it to be one blended soundscape. You don't want to be able to necessarily pick out the individual ingredients because that's a little bit distracting. But you're right. This does an effective job of blending it all together. In general, one thing I want to say about this soundtrack is I was very pleasantly surprised with it. I know I wanted to include one kind of goofy spin-off Kirby game, so I looked at a few others from this era. There's a game called like Kirby's Avalanche. There's a few others. And this one was definitely the best out of those spin-offs. And I don't know. I was just really impressed with the music of this game. And I think if we ever do a sports episode, which we're thinking about maybe doing sometime next season or something like that, I have a feeling we'll come back to this game because it has some pretty good music. So
yeah, Nintendo has a lot of sports game side games.
Yeah, that would be fun. So we're going to move on to our last SNES game. This is Kirby's Dream Land 3. It's kind of funny because when we were going through this, Will was like, oh, well, what's the difference between this and Kirby Superstar as far as like the story or like how it fits into the series of Kirby? And it's funny. It's like there's really not much of a difference. It's something like Mario 3 versus Mario World or Yoshi's Island. Like, they're
except
all Mario.
It would be
games.
Like if Mario 3 came after Mario World.
Exactly. It would be like that. But that's not incredibly unheard of. So it is goofy. They're both fun Kirby platformers. This was composed by Jun Ishikawa alone. We're going to play an incredibly unique track, probably the most unique track of the day. I'm glad that we're playing this if we have to only play one track from this third game. This is called Iceberg. Thank you. Whoa, man, this is Iceberg from Kirby's Dream Land 3, composed by John Ishikawa. This is a pretty impressive piece. What's so crazy is a lot of this evokes a lot of really kind of modern electronic music. Like, some of it reminds me of Square Pusher, like that really morphing bass when it goes really fast part. But what's really cool is the main bass line of this is really funky, but everything else is really demonic and kind of dissonant.
These brass hits right here really remind me of like a classic like 16-bit RPG.
Star Fox. It reminds me a little bit of Star Fox, but there's other parts of it that reminds me of Dr. Mario. Like, it's incredibly all over the place.
Yeah.
It doesn't really know what it wants to be, like, on purpose. It's very, like, kind of like split personality disorder in this track, but it's really impressive throughout, and technically, like, some of those really lush kind of, like, harp pad sounds,
right,
those were so impressive and really came out of nowhere. Like, I was not expecting
that.
Well,
I think the cool thing, again, about the SNES is it was really the first time in history that video game music was really starting to sound-wise break the barrier between sounding like video games and just sounding like music.
Yeah, and electronic music for the first time was able, I mean, some of these sounds, like, man, this really is pushing the envelope of the SNES, but... Yeah.
And as far as like the form and stuff too, like,
right,
it definitely doesn't feel like a video game song in the fact of like, oh, you just have this loop and then it's repeated over and over again. There's a lot of parts where it's like it stops and then it starts this new section, and it's very, it keeps you on your toes in all senses. Compositionally and rhythmically and everything.
And technically. Yeah, there's not a traditional loop in the song at all. Like, it finally does come back to one of the first ideas, that but it takes a long time, and there's like five or six different sections that kind of alternate. Yeah, it's kind of a crazy piece. Kind
it's
of
very
a mind
eclectic,
trip.
Especially for Kirby.
Yeah, well, we're going to finally leave the 16-bit era and move on to the N64, to a game called Kirby 64, The Crystal Shards. This game was composed by, of course, John Ishikawa and Hirokazu Ando. We're going to play a track called Factory Investigation. Listening to Factory Investigation from Kirby 64, composed by Jun and Hirokazu. And yeah, this is a really cool track. I really like the chromatically descending progression that you hear in a lot of music. But yeah, no, what's really interesting is we're moving on to the 64, but you can't really tell. Like, this sounds like a Super Nintendo track to me. It doesn't sound like they really made any technical advancements. Like, it's
other
kind
than
of
the
funny.
Orchestra hits.
The orchestra hits, but still, you heard that on the Super Nintendo too, and these orchestra hits don't sound very good either. So, I don't know. It's interesting. I mean,
I think it's definitely a 64-bit quality of sound. Like, there's not as much compression on the samples.
But in general, it's like, I would, if you play this for me side by side, like, if I wasn't paying attention, you could have told me, oh, this is Super Nintendo. It's kind of interesting. They weren't always concerned with technically pushing the boundaries in the Kirby music. I mean, that last one was kind of a rare exception to that.
And I think it's unfair to place those two side by side.
It is.
It's one of the most impressive SNES tracks.
Yeah, but in general, like, and we're going to
hear... One of the least impressive 64-bit tracks.
Well, later on, we're going to hear that similar kind of thing, like, when you hear some of these DS soundtracks, like... It's almost like they purposely tried to make them sound like GBA. Like, we'll get to that in a little bit later. But yeah, technically, they weren't as concerned with necessarily making it sound good. Like, they were trying to just make it sound classic, I feel. And they kind of succeeded. But yeah, what do you think about this piece, Will?
I think it's interesting. I think It definitely doesn't sound like what I think of Kirby, but I do like the sort of descending nature to it. It's something that I feel like you don't get a lot of video game music, and that's the thing. It definitely sounds 64-bit in the type of song. Like, it doesn't sound like something you would normally hear on, you know, Super NES.
Well, sounds-wise, it reminds me of Mining Melancholy from Donkey Kong Country 2, the one with those metallic drum beats.
Yeah,
it's a very similar sound with some of the metallic sounds here. But okay, we're going to move on to another side game. This is for the GameCube. This is Kirby Air Ride. It's a racing game. We're going to play... This, by the way, has a fantastic soundtrack, so we highly recommend checking out this whole soundtrack. We did play a track from this on our Ice and Snow level, but this soundtrack was by Johnny Shikawa, Hirokazu Ando, Shogo Sakai, and Tadashi Ikegami. We're going to play a track called Celestial Valley. You're listening to Celestial Valley from Kirby Air Ride. This is a really great track, and rhythmically, it's exploring a lot of repetition in a very—it's a very catchy way. Like that rhythm, mm-hmm. that da-da-da-da-da, and those ascending notes.
Right.
By the fourth, fifth time you hear it, if that's not catchy.
Well, and one thing to note there, once the trumpets come in for the rest, the chords are extended. When they're playing it, you add the seventh, which is really effective, but it's kind of subtle because it's underneath the trumpet melody there.
This track really keeps my interest throughout. All the sections are very different, but they're all very melodic. And this section here, again, changes the sounds incredibly. Like, it's a lot more kind of paddy and just very ambient sounding. And then it comes back to a little bit more frantic, harsh sounds. But in general, it's really lively and definitely feels like Kirby music.
It really feels like theme and variation too, because I feel like it's exploring similar notes, but it's doing it in multiple different styles over the course of like 40 seconds, because you get but then I feel like this dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, that's what's being varied throughout the piece.
Right.
It's like, I almost feel like is a variation of that, and all those sort of patty segments are all sort of like changing up almost the genre in a very short period of time.
I was very impressed with Kirby Air Ride soundtrack. It really is, in my opinion, one of the most melodic, like consistently melodic soundtracks of the whole Kirby series. And I think it's kind of interesting that it came from this spin-off racing game, which, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't supposed to be that great of a game. I mean, I didn't really hear very good things about Kirby Air Ride. I just kind of thought it was one of those kind of rip-off racing games that wasn't very good.
Well, I think it's hard to say. I think a lot of people, especially in the GameCube time, would take any opportunity to criticize anything Nintendo was doing. So, I mean, I've never played the game. It's possible that it's really good, but I think superficially people probably
musically
thought,
though, I mean, Mario Kart Double Dash was a huge success. That was a huge game, and that soundtrack compared to this is just laughable. It's fine. It's a fine soundtrack, but this is so much better. Like, this is a fantastic soundtrack, period. Whether you're talking about a racing game or anything, there's a lot of amazing music in here, and it really sounds good. I mean, I like this kind of GameCube General MIDI orchestral samples. It kind of sounds like Smash Brothers Melee.
Totally.
I love that sound. I mean, I wish they would do this more often in that era. A lot of times I feel like they just kind of were just okay with doing the Mario Kart, like which sounded a lot more like 64. Like, this sounds better than 64, definitely. Like, you can tell it's on the GameCube. You would never mistake in this for an earlier generation, you know? Whereas, like, Mario Kart Double Dash doesn't really sound much better than like 64.
I think, again, it's just what choice of instruments they use. I don't think it's like they have to try really hard to like make it sound better. It's just, it's the choice of instruments. If they're choosing to use
more
of,
symphonic,
you know, by the books, low quality, general MIDI-esque samples, then it might not sound that much better than the Nintendo 64. But if they, you know, use a little bit better library of samples like they do here, like they do in Smash Brothers Melee, you're going to get that high higher quality
sound.
Yeah,
there's a few remixes in this game, I think like Fountain of Dreams and Green Greens, that they literally sound like the exact same arrangements from Melee. So I don't know if they were, but yeah, this really, because I do know that Hirokazu Ando also worked on a lot of the Smash Brothers games. So it's kind of cool to hear that similarity. In general, I just feel like the sounds of this game really match the music because there's so much happening. Like there's just a lot of great music jam-packed in this game. So I think like the sounds really were able to match that. We're going to move on to a Game Boy Advance game called Kirby in the Amazing Mirror. And this was composed by Jun Ishikawa and Adayoshi Isamura. We're going to play a track called Area 3 Cabbage Cavern. Listening to Cabbage Cavern from Kirby and the Amazing Mirror for the GBA. And it's another case of you have a newcomer coming onto the scene. You have Isamura, and this is the first main game in the Kirby series that he worked on. And I just get the feeling, like, once again, like you're hearing some of his influences here, because again, it feels at home in the Kirby series, but it feels unique. We haven't really heard a song quite like this. So I think it's kind of cool that you have occasionally these newcomers that were able to add hopefully their own flair to these soundtracks.
Well, I mean, I feel like I'm again reminded of other songs, like that theme and variation thing that I was talking about.
Uh-huh.
I feel like this is another example of the way that the Kirby games really like to do melody, is they take the rhythm of the melody and they play around with it for the rest of the melody. So if the notes change, it's usually keeping that rhythm, and it might slowly develop gradually into a completely different type of rhythm, but it doesn't usually just have one section and then a completely different. It's sort of like a little bit more of like a theme and variation, and I think that's really accented in this song because they keep switching up the instruments.
One thing I want to say about the Kirby music, when you talk about the whole series, something that I think is really effective is there's a lot of notes. There's a lot of notes to all these melodies. There's a lot of notes. They're very active, but it doesn't sound annoying. It doesn't sound obnoxious. And I think there are some other games that tried to do that and didn't succeed. I'm thinking about Mario Kart Wii, Mario Kart 7, games like that where they have a lot of fast, active melodies, but they're just, in my opinion, not very well thought out, and they don't really succeed in the way that a lot of this Kirby music does. So I think it's pretty unique that you can have really fast, active melodies, but they're not annoying. And I think that's actually, at least nowadays, pretty rare to have that kind of a melodic style and have it not get old. I think sometimes with the Mario Kart games, for example, I think they maybe overdo that a little bit.
Right.
So it's just nice to hear this because it's just so tastefully done.
Well, I think it's a lot more complicated than it sounds, and I think a lot of people don't realize that. This may sound like a very simplistic melody, but the reason this works is because each one of those notes is planned out carefully. Mm-hmm. It's not just being played randomly.
In the Mario Kart, as in recent years, I mean, I feel like that's an example of when you rush something and you just try to make something that works, but do it fairly quickly, that's the outcome of that. And that's what it sounds like. I don't want to harp on it too much, but it doesn't sound like something that was carefully planned out, because I really don't think it was. So it's kind of nice to hear that difference. We're going to move on to the DS, and we're going to go to a game called Kirby Canvas Curse. And these DS soundtracks were interesting. I talked a little bit about it earlier, is that I feel like on purpose, they kind of wanted to make this sound a little bit retro. And I think that's kind of interesting for the time. So some of these DS soundtracks sound more like GBA soundtracks. But in any event, we're going to play a track called Frozen Fantasy. And this game was composed by Jun Ishikawa and Tadashi Ikakami. Let's take a listen.
Thank you.
Cool, man. This is Frozen Fantasy from Kirby Canvas Curse for the DS. And I really like the way that they were approaching the soundscapes in these DS soundtracks, because in some ways it kind of feels like a higher fidelity remastered version of like a Game Boy Advance soundtrack. But it's so nice because really you can hear the pure compositional effects of the melody and the harmony and the chords and everything. It's so pure. Like, you're not being distracted by really pretty sounds. And a lot of times that happens with modern games. This is a case where that's not happening. If anything is good, it's because of the music. So, yeah, there's actually a lot of ice and snow levels in the Kirby universe. And we did play, I think, two of them on our ice and snow episode.
Right. So yeah, one thing that I think is interesting is I think this is a great song. I love the melody. I love what it's doing rhythmically again. It's another one of those. I feel like there's two camps of Kirby music. There's the sort of fun, fast-paced music, and then there's this sort of like a little bit more wandering, sort of circular motion.
Yeah.
Type of music where
a little bit of mystery,
right? A lot of mystery quality. The only problem that I would say that I have with this track in particular is the scale degree that the melody of the A section lands on.
I know what you mean.
Right there is just a little random to me, and it takes me out of it just a little bit. But
you know,
other than that,
thing.
I think it's a really well done track.
It is a well done track. I don't think too highly of this soundtrack, Kansas Curse. I thought it wasn't incredibly consistent. There's a lot of tracks that were actually what I was talking about earlier. They kind of annoyed me, to be honest. But this is probably one of the strongest tracks. There was a track where they did a remix of that Kirby 64 track we played, and that was actually really well done. And in some ways, I think I may have liked it better than the 64 version. But we're going to move on to another game for the DS. This is called Kirby Squeak Squad. And I think in Europe, it was called like Mouse Adventure, like Kirby Mouse Hunt or something with a mouse.
Weird.
Yeah, kind of weird. I haven't really... don't really know much about this game, but we're going to play a track called Having Fun Outside. And this is quintessential Kirby music. I think what's cool about this playlist today is we're really featuring a lot of nice diversity of those two camps, as Will mentioned, the kind of the really athletic, fast-paced, energetic Kirby music, and a little bit more of the mystery. So this falls under the first category. This game is composed by Jun Ishikawa, Tadashi Ikegami, Shogo Sakai, and Hirokazu Ando. Cool. This is Having Fun Outside from Kirby Squeak Squad. This one is so fun. I love those really fast single stroke notes. I'm coming from the percussion world, so if I were to play it, I would call it a single stroke note. But yeah, no, this is incredibly fun and happy.
Nice.
And again, it's really well thought out. It's not random. It's like, it's not just relying on, oh, we're going to have a really fast, up-tempo, frantic song, and that's going to be fun. No, it's fun because the melody is really well done. And all, like Will was saying, if you slow this down, it works. If you listen to every single note, it's well thought out, it's carefully executed, and it's incredibly effective. And the B section is very different from the A section. It definitely comes out of left field. Like, even today, like, I had already heard this when we were preparing, and I was surprised by that B section. I was not expecting it.
Well, one thing I think, like, the music of, like, the Banjo-Kazooie series is almost parodying this type of music. And what I mean by that is that it's pairing the sort of fast-paced, very simplistic melody type music. But I think if you go back to the original source material, a lot of music like this, it sounds simple, but there's actually a lot more complicated chord changes than I think people would realize or expect. Again, especially with this Kirby series, I feel like it has a lot of very jazzy, wandering B sections, but it keeps that rhythmic drive and it keeps that melodic consistency. So I think a lot of people are sort of fooled and, oh, this is just really simple. But
it's easy.
There's
to
a
feel
reason
that
why
way.
It's hummable. There's a reason why mm-hmm. you remember the music.
And when you start getting into composition, you start to really appreciate that it's harder than it appears. It's kind of a humble thing to work on this kind of music because most people, if it's effective, they're never going to think highly of it. They're just going to have fun and not think it's that hard.
Right.
It's like special effects. You're not supposed to notice that. Oh, that's really impressive. You're just supposed to just accept it.
Well, because I've even noticed for myself, there's so many songs, especially video game music, where unfortunately I've been like, I could do that better.
Sure.
That's just so simple.
You
and
try
then
to
when
do
you
it,
really try to listen to it compositionally easy. And you're like, wow, there's actually a lot more going on here than you would realize.
Well, Banjo-Kazooie was a great example. I'm glad you brought that up because that's another case where a lot of the music comes off as, oh, simple and goofy and maybe childish, but it's really well done. And if you slow that music down, it's incredibly well thought out.
Right. Very and, quality melody.
Yeah. So that's another good example of that. We're going to move on to a game for the Wii. This is called Kirby's Epic Yarn. And man, this is a fantastic soundtrack.
Yeah, well, it's actually unique timing because recently, like last week, there was this Nintendo Direct broadcast where they announced all these games.
Everything
one
that
of
people
which
have been waiting for.
Was a new Yoshi game that looked like it's taking on multiple art styles. One that kind of looked like Yoshi's Story, one that looked like Kirby's Epic Yarn.
Oh, cool.
And this other one that also had this sort of like patchwork quality to it.
Yeah, this game had a very cool art style. And the soundtrack was very well done. I mean, I think a lot of people, I've talked about this before, but there's some people in the online communities that kind of equate the soundtrack to Galaxy.
Right.
As far as just like how many great songs there are, there's definitely a little bit of orchestral. What's cool is with this game, I feel like half of it is kind of really nice, pretty piano pieces with a lot of pad and reverb. And then the other half is really fun orchestral songs.
Well, again, it's the same team that made the Wario Land Shake It game.
Well, what's really cool is that this is the first game where you have a newcomer, Tomoya Tamida.
Exactly.
And his influence, almost, you know how before in the episode I talked about when Tatashi would come on and you hear his influence? This game is incredibly striking. Tomoya's influences cannot be understated on this soundtrack.
Tomoya Tamida really has a good command of like that type of era of video game music, really evoking old school thematic ideas, but with a modern instrumentation that really feels right at home, because I feel like that's the type of thing, I think that's been a struggle for game composers for a long time that want to make this type of music, is how do I do the instrumentation? But I feel like if you listen to this track and this entire soundtrack, it's very clever, the instrument choices that they utilize to create these very timeless sounding melodies.
And I wouldn't be surprised if Tomoya composed this track, because he has a very strong jazz background, and this is not something you hear in the Kirby series. This track is very jazzy, so this may very well be a Tomoya composition. This is Quilty Square. That's a lot of fun. This is Quilty Square from Kirby's Epic Yarn, potentially a Tomoya Tamida composition. It's really cool to have that harpsichord in a more of a jazzier kind of context.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
It really feels at home, and it feels a little bit winter-oriented. I mean, the vibraphone also kind of helps that. I get the feeling this is kind of a wintry vibe. There's a lot of music in this game that has wintry theme. One of the best tracks from this game we did play
right.
in our Ice and Snow episode. But yeah, this is a really well done track. I love the repetition of that melody. Dun, 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 dun. And when the fourth time when the chords change, it's just so effective. Because you hear that so many times.
Yeah, well, when he first set up that chord progression, when I first heard it, it actually reminded me, it sounded a lot like a Randy Newman song,
sure.
actually. Like the way that he was voicing those chords before the melody came in. I'm like, oh,
that's
this kind of sounds like something Randy Newman would do. But yeah, that is a really interesting choice of having that jazzy sound with the harpsichord. It's like combining two worlds. It's making it, it's harkening back to like really timeless music, because back in the era where they would have harpsichords, it was like Baroque era music. Mm. But one thing that's interesting is by combining it with jazz, it's like making modern music sound older than it really is. And it's really blurring the line and combining two sort of musical worlds.
And the drum sounds are very impressive. Those brush samples are really well done. They fool even me sometimes.
Well, I think even those vibes sound really good.
They do sound
good. And
the
reverb sound feels like very accurate, a little bit more so than the other samples in this track.
I guess a word that I would describe this soundtrack, and it's not anything against it, it's very cute. A lot of the music is just really sweet. It's just very sweet and playful.
Yeah, it's like something you'd hear on Blues Clues or something.
Yeah. That's anyways, yeah, we're going to move on to another DS game. So we're going back to the DS one more time. This is Kirby Mass Attack, and this game was composed by Shogo Sakai and Masaki Iwasaki. This is the first game in the entire series that didn't have either Hirokazu Ando or Johnny Ishikawa. So it's very historic.
Well, that's
that
pretty
sense.
Impressive that it is. They worked on so many games.
Yeah, so this track is called Dark Clouds. I love that. This is Dark Clouds from Kirby Mass Attack. It's so groovy, but there's no drum beat and there's not a lot of other instruments that are helping. So it's very sparse, but that sparse groovy nature is something that I don't hear that much.
What about those bongos?
The bongos, there's not much there. Like, it's not
right.
A whole drum kit.
It's adding
a
color.
And what I think is cool is the very end of the loop, how you have that bongo fill, the melody comes back without the bass. The bass is a little bit late. So it's like, so the bass doesn't come in until the second chord, but I love that.
Yeah, the bass is very sort of sparse, very
groovy.
Minimal.
Mm-hmm. Very good playing, yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. It's kind of crazy that this is literally the first and maybe the only game in the Kirby series that doesn't have either Jun or Hirokazu.
Yeah, I never played Mass Attack. It was supposed to be really good, but yeah, it came out after the 3DS was already sort of well into its cycle.
That's crazy. We're going to move on to the last soundtrack we're going to talk about today. This is Kirby's Return to Dreamland. And this track is our track of the week. This is called Cookie Country, and I cannot say enough about this soundtrack. I was so excited when I discovered it, because I always love discovering newer, high-quality Nintendo soundtracks. Yes. It just gets me really inspired.
Very pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, and this soundtrack was composed by, not surprisingly, Johnny Ishikawa and Hirokazu Ando. And it's an absolutely modern classic Nintendo soundtrack. And I have a feeling another time in a future episode, we're definitely going to be coming back to this soundtrack.
I think we got to do a Hirokazu Ando and Johnny Ishikawa episode.
That would be really
cool.
Because
it's another example. We mentioned with Yoko Shimomura, composers who've been around for a really long time and are still doing music today. But what I think is cool is this is an example of a duo.
Like, you have people
a group
working
of
together
two people
for so long.
They're still working together. And I know what I think Dreamland was a little bit more unique, because I think maybe the reason why they're credited on some other soundtracks is they're reusing a lot of
Jun's themes.
But yeah, no, this game was really trying to go back to the basics.
It's obvious that they have a really healthy working relationship and that they're able to work together really well, because through all these years, it's so cool to hear them doing these soundtracks together and just keep on cranking out really high quality music. So we're going to play a track called Cookie Country. And what's really cool is the main theme of this game is very, very well done. And we have played it before. I think it was in a show and tell or something. We did play, or like a title screen or something. So we did play that main theme. And what's cool about this track is it harkens back to that. And this whole soundtrack reminds me of Galaxy in the sense that it harkens back to these themes.
Well, and rhythmically, it harkens back to a little
other
bit of
themes
old
too.
School Kirby.
Yeah.
Themes.
So this is just a really, this is a really fitting track of the week. This is Cookie Country. This is so much fun. This is Cookie Country, and this really put a smile on my face. Hopefully you guys recognize that main theme of Kirby's Return to Dream Land that you heard a little bit here. But yeah, like Will said, they do also harken back to older Kirby themes, but it's just so great. One thing that is so unique and effective here is you have the orchestral sounds, but the drum is going back to the NES style. You have one hi-hat that's playing. So it's so cool that you're hearing like kind of the different, you're hearing this kind of melting pot of, you have these really modern sounds as far as like what's happening melodically with this lone hi-hat doing like an NES style of a drum accompaniment.
Well, I think it's a very much a loving homage to all the music of Kirby's past, right. And I think it's great that it's the same two composers who did so many classic Kirby soundtracks, because I think they really put their heart and soul
into recapturing
that sort of feeling that you get when you play a good Kirby game with really good music, but it's also utilizing older melodies into a very nice package of sort of like brand new, but also with a heavy dose of nostalgia at the same time.
Those tubular bells are a great touch too. Yeah, I would love to hear this orchestrated, because really a lot of these melodies are incredibly strong and do remind me of Galaxy. I think it's interesting. This soundtrack reminds me much more of Galaxy than Epic Yarn did.
Right. Well, I mean, I think it's very well orchestrated.
Right. Yep. And what's interesting is those sounds fit. Like, I wouldn't really want to change that much about these samples here. I mean, because they sound much better than the GameCube era. They don't sound realistic. They don't sound as good as, like, something like Nintendo Land, for example. But they sound really pleasing to the ear, and they sound very sweet and cute.
Well, I think they're very fitting for the type of game it is. I think, again, it's intentional use of sound, where I feel like a lot of Nintendo games, I feel like they just use whatever samples they have. Where
sure.
I feel like what I've noticed about some of these Kirby games, especially Epic Yarn and Return to Dream Land, it's almost like purposefully going for a little bit less of a quality sound in the instrumentation. It sounds like purposefully
sampled.
A little
sampled. Bit retro, yeah.
It's really nice. It doesn't, because I feel like even though I love Nintendo Land, I think that would be a little bit too realistic for this type of sound.
Mm-hmm.
It would sort of fall in that uncanny area of like not quite being real, but not being fake enough to be charming.
Right. No, and this is definitely, it just makes it. It's just like old enough where it's like you can accept it in that
way. And it's really well written and well orchestrated, and it's utilizing, you know, different octaves and different timbres really well.
We're going to play one more track from Return to Dreamland. This is the last track we're going to talk about today. This is Boss Battle. That's so cool. This is Boss Battle from Kirby's Return to Dreamland. What I think is so great about this and was so surprising to me is a lot of times when I listen to boss music, they just rely on the rhythmic kind of those taiko drums and just like the drums and the doon doo doon doo doon doon doo doo, and that's really enough. Like they don't really feel like, oh, I don't need to make a really catchy melody. But with this one, the melody is so great. It's very rhythmically interesting.
Right.
A lot of great instrument switching. Like I like how it goes to organ here. I don't know. It's just, for me, it's a lot more melodic than most modern boss music that I hear.
And I think it also has a really nice use of uniform triplets at the end of the form.
Right. Definitely. No, this is just really effective. And this whole soundtrack, like I said, it really inspired and excited us when we discovered it. So, you know, expect to hear more of Kirby's Return to Dreamland. Well, man, that was just so much fun. We just had a great time sharing this music. So once again, hopefully, Matt, you enjoyed this episode.
Yeah, man. Thanks a lot for recommending this. And thank you so much for joining us again this week. We've just had a blast.
Keep it here locked every Monday to the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast. We have some great episodes coming up. My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm Will Brueggemann. Please stick with us through the end of this season. We hope to bring you a lot more great content. Thank you so much for joining us.
Peace out.